Hey everyone, you're in for a real treat today. We have Brandon Fluharty, who is a VP of Strategic Account Solutions at LivePerson, and he's the founder of Be Focused, Live Great. And just Rhea, really appreciate the authenticity and the quality of content you're putting out there, Brandon. Welcome to episode 140 of the Davidson Hang podcast.
Thanks for having me, Davidson. Excited to be here.
Yeah. I remember listening to a lot of Scott Ingram's podcast episodes, and yours certainly has left an impression. It has helped me. I think at the time I was only an enterprise SDR. And then since then I've become a mid-market account executive. So
oh, nice.
Yeah. Your thank you. Your podcast helped me like really want to be a strategic partner, and it helped me to see bigger, like see the possibilities beyond just being an SDR. So I really appreciate you.
Yeah, that's great. I think thinking big and, you know, the proverbial outside the box is definitely key if you want to achieve big things in life.
Yeah. And you also presented at the Sales Success Summit this year, which was phenomenal. We definitely missed you, but you still have left a huge impact. Like yours and Ian Koniak by far were the two favorites after speaking with a lot of folks afterwards at night.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, and Ian always delivers an amazing presentation. And yeah, I was just glad to be a part of it, even remotely. Looking forward to being there in person next time.
Yeah, it'd be cool to meet in person. And I'm curious, I feel like not a lot of people are able to be as vulnerable as you have been, especially in their professional brand on LinkedIn and stuff like that. I'm sure it took something, and it's a work in progress, right? But what advice would you give to people who want to be more open and they feel like, oh, LinkedIn is not somewhere where I want to share these personal things?
Yeah. You know, I think everybody's on their own time frame with that. I have found just an amazing, beautiful community within LinkedIn because it's other fellow enterprise sellers and strategic sellers that are spending the majority of their time there when it comes to social media. So I just found that being consistent, one was like step number one, is just putting myself out there. And there was a time when it used to be other people's content, you know, my company's content, and that's how I was able to connect with others. And it was more about projecting what I could offer as far as what I sold. And then over time, I actually learned that the majority of my network were fellow sellers. And that's when I started to really double down on my own personal brand and started talking about my journey. And what I found with that, and anybody who's on the fence about putting themselves out there, especially in a really personal, authentic way, is one, it can be healing. If there's anything that you want to talk about super personal, you'll discover you're not alone. The second thing is that you learn that better actually the second time around. So when you're actually documenting your own journey, how you won that deal or your struggles, this concept of sort of building in public, it's I think really resonating with a lot of newer companies, even founders. And I think we can harness that as, you know, CEOs of our own life. That's the way we should really be thinking about it as sellers, is you're the CEO of your own life. So, you know, go ahead and start building in public. You'll learn and you'll be able to give people the gift of your knowledge. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there.
Yeah, I love what you said about there seems to be a shift coincidentally with the great reshuffle or the great resignation, right? The employers do see the whole self, or starting to see the whole self, and not, hey, you're just someone who brings in revenue, right? But it's not only accepting who you are, appreciating who you are, but almost like elevating you and just, hey, this is who he is, and he contributes beyond just the numbers. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. One, companies have to wake up to the great reshuffle and the great resignation, because it's an extremely competitive environment right now for talent. So it's those who really, I talk about this all the time. We're humans first, professionals second. And for so long, we've focused our enablement, we've focused our training on just the professional aspects. And I think the pandemic has blown that door wide open, that we need diversity, we need openness, we need authenticity, and we need to embrace this concept of anyone working from anywhere and harnessing those talents as a human. Because when you're a good human, you're an optimized human being, you're naturally a better seller, you're naturally a better professional. And so I think what we're starting to see is more of a shift in helping the human be the best human they can possibly be, giving them the respect and the autonomy and freedom and resources and mental health training and all those aspects. That's going to pay dividends in helping with professional output. So it's a very exciting time.
Yes. And I think when there's examples of folks like yourself who are at the top of the game, who are open about mental health and well-being and setting boundaries around, you know, clocking out at 5 o'clock and actually having a life outside of obviously being a top performer, it gives people the permission and just an example of, hey, like you can be just as successful and you don't have to work 90 hour weeks to get there.
That's exactly right. And that was the really my impetus in wanting to put myself out there personally, which is I used to be a hustler. I used to constantly work around the clock. I was a workaholic. It's a problem. And under the old way, I've had health issues. It put me in the hospital. It was a scare for myself and my wife. And the only thing that we can look back on is how hard I was working at that time, a lack of sleep. You know, we work ourselves to exhaustion and we wonder why we burn out. We wonder why we think the grass is greener on the other side. We think that things are going to magically get better if we leave one role and go start at a new company. And everything is sort of novel and exciting at the beginning. But if you're not getting to the root of, you know, what is burning you out in the first place, like constantly hustling or not being able to properly rest and recover, you're going to be in a vicious cycle. And what I discovered is when I was more intentional with my actions and how I operated and actually deliberately slowed down in order to speed up, I really did speed up my results as a seller.
What a great reminder, right? How many of us have seen salespeople who have literally dedicated everything, right? And you see them first one in, last one out of the office, and you think like, oh, okay, like that's just what it takes to get to that level. And I'm sure like that has provided you some foundation and some network, and I'm sure it's given you a lot, right? But if you didn't go through that and realize like, okay, like if I don't stop, if I don't change, like I might be dead, right?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, that's really deep.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. It was eye-opening being in a hospital, you know, having a mini stroke and, you know, no known causes for it. Again, the only thing that we can look back on is how hard I was working around the clock. So by making those deliberate changes, we can actually be more sustainable and we can actually deliver more to what we do. And I think one misconception here too is, yeah, I really am interested in hacking a lot of you know, things around productivity or health and the quantified self, but I think a misconception is I don't work hard. I actually work, you know, really hard, but I do it in a very thoughtful way that incorporates breaks, that incorporates proper rest and recovery. Just like, say, a professional athlete would. We would never expect, say, LeBron James or Lionel Messi to Serena Williams to work around the clock and then wear a badge of honor of a lack of sleep, for instance, you know, 4 hours, and then go on the court and try to perform at their best. But yet we're doing it in the business world, and there's a big disconnect. So that it's time to start changing that habit, that behavior, and that glorified hustle culture.
It's a timely message, like you said, because of the pandemic and us really just prioritizing ourselves for once, right? Especially at the at a lot of leaders and top performers. I look to you as like a Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods of in our space, right? Being in tech sales. And it's great when you have people like yourself who people aspire to, people look up to, people try to model after your behaviors and who you're being in the world. And if we're seeing that, okay, like clearly, you know, this is the path I'm on and I'm on that same path. Maybe I can learn from these people who I aspire to be like one day and, you know, be coachable, right? Be open to a different way of doing things. And I think we get so tied, especially all of us top performers, we're so tied up to our value and our sense of worth from the awards, the president's clubs, like how much we make. And yes, like sometimes our families, you know, get involved and there's other factors too, right? If people are relying on us, but ultimately if we don't put the airplane mask on ourselves, then everyone else suffers and it's just not going to be a pleasant experience for anyone.
That's right. I call it enlightened empathy. The idea that you can give much more to others if you prioritize yourself first. And yeah, that's a great example. You hear all the time on an airplane, put on your oxygen mask before helping others. That's the same kind of concept here. And it takes definitely a mental shift because again, we've glorified a way of operating for so long and we've dangled the carrot of extrinsic motivation. And the biggest shift for me is when I started letting go of the number one on the leaderboard and constantly needing to be in president's club and using those as my motivations to more intrinsic motivation, mapping out what really do I want out of life, getting a bit more philosophical. And that takes deep thinking, that takes reflection, that takes solitude. And it's okay to do those things. It's very healthy to do those things, just as we would talk about a healthy diet or proper exercise. Those are just mainstream things that we all recognize. Those are healthy habits. I think we need to start peeling back the onion a bit more on these other really powerful activities and habits that can really play a more impactful role on not just our personal lives, but our professional lives as well.
That's pretty deep. I do think many of us go on the hamster wheel and we're so used to like traveling, going to all these cool places like Hawaii and Barcelona or Rome or whatever for these. It's like the golden handcuff, I would say. I feel like you get used to a certain style of living. Like you're going to these nice restaurants and your friends are going on cool vacations. Sometimes you're going with them too. And I think sometimes it's hard for us to stop and really think like, okay, like, what am I really doing this for? Am I doing this for other people? Am I doing this because it feels nice to get acknowledged in front of the whole company? I do think we're starting to have these conversations, and I still think most of us are still on that hamster wheel. And then once we reach like a big enough breaking point, then we take corrective action, but sometimes it's almost too late.
It's early stage on what we're talking about, but it's always the early adopters. It's always the innovators. It's always the trailblazers who pave the way. And, you know, that starts with this episode. It starts with what we're talking about. It starts with this discussion, and then a community builds around that. And, you know, let's be honest, I talk about money. Anybody who follows me on LinkedIn, you know, my hook is about earning more, but doing it in a way that is, non-traditional in the traditional sense of how we've been groomed in sales, extrinsic motivation, for instance. So, but anybody who dives a little bit deeper can see, okay, once I've gotten hooked and I see what Brandon's message is really about, it's not about the money anymore. It's about releasing those golden handcuffs. It's about looking more deeply at what's important to you in your life. And money is just a tool to help you deliver time freedom to yourself, and really explore what is possible beyond just being on that hamster wheel, inflating your lifestyle, keeping up with the Joneses. If you get off that, step off that hamster wheel, you start to discover a whole new world that is exciting and invigorating and beautiful. And that's what it's ultimately all about.
Beautifully said. I think the seven figures, right? It builds the credibility, right? There needs to be some sort of financial or some sort of what society deems as success for people to even want to click on the podcast and you know, you're subscribed to your blog, right? So it's like you said, it builds that credibility where it's like, okay, like I want to get to where this guy's at, or I'm curious like how he was able to do it. But like you said, once you peel back the layers, it's more not like existential, but it's really gets to the core of who we are as human beings. And that's beautiful. Cause I don't think everyone has that spin, right? I think eventually we get there one day, right? You read every billionaire biography and it's the same pattern. It's like, okay, I did this, I burnt out. And then I realized like, oh, okay. It's about making a contribution. It's about how am I leaving a legacy for the world? So that's beautiful, man. I appreciate
it. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And in sales, so even though I liken a lot to professional sports, and I know, you know, sports analogies and sales are well overused and it's not for everyone. But if you look at any high performer, whether that is, you know, a good example, you mentioned like an entrepreneur, CEO, billionaire, right? They built something from the ground up and was able to figure out how to scale it. And they came to, like you said, most come to the conclusion, it was more about the process. It wasn't about accumulating wealth. That was just a natural outcome of, you know, delivering something and building something important to the world. It could be the same thing in creative arts, you know, performing, whether it's a comedian, an actor, a musician. It could be science, right? Well-renowned scientists and doctors. So it applies really to any high level position. And I think one of my North Stars is to elevate sales to that same type of credibility and respect, because I still think we have a long way to go there. But ultimately, because we're not performing in front of an audience, we're not entertaining like in professional sports. You know, you go to a Lakers game, or you know, you go to a Liverpool football club match at Anfield in the Premier League, you're going there to be entertained. And it means a lot to those supporters and fans. But in sales, we don't have an audience, right? We're not selling tickets. We don't have an agent. We don't have a performance coach. We don't have a mindset coach, a sports psychologist helping all, you know, do everything that is needed. Yet we're being asked to do something very similar, which is to constantly perform, constantly deliver results. And so that's the room for opportunity, the areas for improvement in sales. If we can take a little bit about what makes a high performer really good and really consistent, we bring that into sales, we can fundamentally change the game in business. And we're just scratching the surface.
Yeah, I love what you're standing for. And I love what you're saying about, I'm trying to connect the dots. I hear that once we truly at the core know who we are and we're not attached to the outcome, like in sales, like if we're being too attached to, hey, you have to sign this because this is my livelihood, then we'll actually be more successful, because at the core, like, we know that we're adding value and people see that, hey, this person is being a value plus, like this person is contributing to me in some way. They're actually more likely to work with you versus you being so attached and it comes off as like needy or whatever. And then they get jaded or they're kind of like, oh man, this person is like really annoying me by calling me 100 times a month. Right.
That's right.
So that I love what you're standing for there and elevating the profession. And I think we're making strides like with people like yourself who,
exactly.
who, yeah. you know, there's a lot of people who are digesting your content and implementing it. And like you said, we still have a long way to go.
Yeah. So a few points there that you brought up. First, absolutely. We have come a long way from when I'm, you know, 42 now, when I started in sales in my 20s, you know, a lot different environments back then, and then in the mid 2000s, early 2000s. So we definitely, I want to recognize we have come a long way. The young sellers that I mentor today, I'm extremely impressed by their empathy, their humanistic approach, their intelligence. And I think those are all really strong qualities because, you know, at the end of the day in sales, it starts with the human connection. And again, yeah. however, like we were talking about, still more room to go. What's being missed is that human connection. How do you help the human? Because it all starts there versus just solely focusing on sales enablement, sales frameworks, and so forth. That's causing a lot of the angst. It's causing a lot of the anxiety because every day when I see on Slack the leaderboard and I'm not there, especially as a new seller, what am I essentially subconsciously doing? I'm conditioning that seller to, you know, maybe take shortcuts, get back into the grind, hustle to get those results. So I think we just need a bit of a shift. The second thing I wanted to point out, the point I was trying to make around using earnings and what I talk about earning seven figures and your point of, you know, being a proof point, that is our only proof point. Like in professional sports, you can win the MVP. Like people vote on that. People can see you work, see your work because every, you know, time there's a game, it's televised. You're in front of an audience, right? There are ticket sales. None of that happens in sales. So how are we measured in more of a public sphere? Our W-2, right? You know, obviously if your W-2 is high, you generated revenue for your company. Or you generated bookings for your company. So it's the only thing that I can sort of put out there to the world to say, hey, this is what I earned. And this is how I did it. It wasn't doing it the way you've been taught in sales. It's not doing it in the way that you think you have to, constantly working around the clock. It's actually doing the opposite and being really intentional and strategic and you know, more of a deep thinker in how you want to operate your life and integrate the personal things with the professional things. This idea of work-life balance, where I work a clean 8 hours, I have a clean 8 hours of friends and family and hobbies and social life, and then a clean 8 hours of sleep. Come on, that doesn't exist. We're constantly integrating things, taking kids to school, or something comes up in the middle of the day. So we have to integrate our work and lives in a more thoughtful and intentional way. So that's, again, I think what the opportunity, especially as we're working and operating in a completely different way than we were just 2 years ago, that's the opportunity for both the individual and the companies.
I love that you chose the word integration. I think integration, like you said, not only in integrating more diverse sales forces, right? Not only with women and people of color, and it does seem like we're much more aware of, just as a society, right? Like giving opportunities to those who maybe did not have as many resources growing up, or whatever the case may be. And like you said, and really the integration of our personal lives and work. So it's interesting time that we're in that right now, where mothers and fathers can actually be able to like share, like, hey, these are my responsibilities as a parent, right? And companies, like, they have to adapt, right? Or they're going to lose a lot of talent to folks that want to have more of, like you said, like a little bit more flexibility, so that, you know, we're not commuting 2 hours, like, into the office. And there's a, so it is a pretty interesting time period right now. And then, like you said, integrating who you are at the core, like as a human being, right? So with you, you have your, you know, the podcast, like all the and it's cool because it seems like your company appreciates that. Like they know and they accept like, hey, this is actually adding to the value of Live Person, because he reaches a pretty broad audience and that's getting more exposure versus the old way where it's like, hey, you do your thing on the side and like, just don't let it interfere with like the full-time job, right?
That's right. Things are starting to bleed, and the, you know, benefit that I provide to Live Person is not just on the front lines, you know, acquiring new business and driving increased bookings. Yes, I've been able to do that, but by them allowing me to be authentic and have autonomy and freedom, I've been able to develop, you know, additional value from putting myself out there. There's been a lot of interest. There've been a few folks who have actually been hired based off of, you know, content I've put out there. I've been organically mentoring a few of our account executives who, you know, perhaps transitioned from SDR and they got promoted and now they want to, you know, follow some of the core principles that I've been putting out there. So you're absolutely right. It's integrated, and it's not going to suddenly become unintegrated post-pandemic or in a few years. If anything, it's just going to be more and more tightly coupled. And you, all you have to do is look at what's happening in society to big changes. You hear all the time, Web3 and everything that's happening. Look at blockchain and crypto, this idea of decentralizing ownership where people can own be their own bank. They can own a piece of the web now, and that can be shared. And then as it scales and as I create something and it's given to a community, it can go on and take on its a whole new life. I get a share of that. Those who tweak it and share it across the community can get a piece of it as well. Like that, we need to bring into our own work environments and how we operate in sales. So there is definitely a big shift that's happening in life and society, and we can't leave that behind in traditional business where I'm working for somebody else as well as a seller. We really need to be more thoughtful and enlightened and integrated with how we approach everything.
Yeah, I love this conversation because I do think companies are at a point right now, right, where it's like, do I let them do the entrepreneurial stuff on the side? And hey, ultimately, they're still producing, like they're still being a huge contribution to the company, right? Is it okay for them to, should I offer the flexibility? Because what's the boundary? Like if they can work from home every day, like, can I trust that they'll actually be able to get the job done just as effectively, which clearly it's been proven that folks are just as effective when they have the choice, when they have the autonomy and freedom. Because ultimately, you know, you're hiring them because they can get the job done, right? So I do see the society, most companies are starting to realize like, hey, I should just trust my employees, obviously set the right foundations, have the right parameters, and just let them do their thing, and they're ultimately going to get the job done. So
interesting. 100% right there. And I think the key word is trust, because why hire somebody if you don't trust them? So don't let the fear creep in. And that is the big thing that as individuals and companies and teams, we need to get over is fear. There are so many decisions based off of fear as the primary motivation versus trust. And companies need to embrace trust. Otherwise, they're going to lose out on a whole new generation, because the new generation, Gen Z, coming into the workforce today, they have more opportunities at their disposal with a smartphone and social media than ever before. So if they're not given the freedom and flexibility to work, be anyone from anywhere, And part of a cool culture to be a part of, building interesting things, they can become a solopreneur. It is so easy to do that these days and generate income. That is actually, it used to be the startup founder was sort of like the hot thing to be. Silicon Valley used to be the hot place everybody had to be. The pandemic totally obliterated that. And today, who do you look up to? If you're a young person, you look up to social media influencers. And I want to be that person on YouTube. I want to be that person on TikTok. I want to be that person on LinkedIn who's influencing others. And I build passive income so that I can go hiking in the Himalayas if I want to. I can live anywhere in the world that I want to. I want to explore. Yeah. It's not just about making money. It's about time freedom. And all I need is income to empower that, as well as home ownership is harder than ever, right? And so owning a home might be even frowned upon for a young person. So there are these societal shifts that if you're a Web 2 company trying to compete in Web 3, you need to embrace that anywhere, anyone, anywhere mentality. Otherwise, you're just not going to attract the talent. You're going to lose them to solopreneurship.
Well said. Yeah, it does make me feel grateful in the nature of Thanksgiving this week. I have a lot of gratitude that my company does allow me to do the podcast thing and the books and the stuff I do on the side and my YouTube channel. And it makes me feel good that I do have a company that really is accepting of who we are. And I mean, basically all of our employees are entrepreneurs and have a lot of their own things that they do on the side, whether it's being a DJ or having like a coding company or digital marketing, whatever they do. So it does feel good to get that validation, like, okay, you know, we are innovating and we are very acceptive of the whole person and not just the numbers and how much revenue they can produce here. So that feels good.
Yeah, absolutely. Gratitude is really important, especially in the week of Thanksgiving. And I think we're truly grateful to be able to work for companies that give us that freedom and flexibility and autonomy. But I think there will be a time too where companies start to realize, hey, by allowing you that flexibility to do your own podcast or allowing somebody to DJ on the side, allowing somebody to start their own coding company and be a content creator, the data will point to actually, hey, these are our top employees. Mm-hmm. And it won't just be a straight line to saying, well, these were highly aspirational people anyways, so they're just going to naturally be high achievers and high performers. No, it's actually going to be when you can give them the tools to think like an entrepreneur, you're now as a seller, in the shoes of what it's like to be a business owner, to operate a division that needs to transform their operations, or CEO who needs to look across culture and harmonize things. So it puts us in a better position to be a better employee to our companies. So that is definitely a trend we're going to see more and more of.
Yeah, I love how you just connected the dots, right? I mean, clearly to be a really strong top performing AE, you're really good at pattern recognition, right? Mm-hmm. And understanding the systems and what hierarchies and whatnot. And I love how you clearly painted the picture of just having these entrepreneur side things actually allows you to step into your client's shoes as whatever they're PMing and whatever they're trying to implement internally for their organizations. It takes the ability to, not only understand business needs, but it takes like that initiative and that drive to be able to pull something that can transform the company. So I love how you connected that. Yeah. I actually haven't thought of that. That's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a very scalable way to do it, right? Because back in the day, it used to be, and when I say back in the day, I'm talking like less than a decade ago, think about one of the big consulting firms. What did you have to do? Well, I'd have to go pay for my high-end, high-performing consultants to go get an MBA. It's extremely expensive. Right. Whereas today, if I am a cool SaaS startup or a SaaS company, all I have to do is just allow my my employees to be their own content creator, be their own solopreneurs on the side, give them that freedom, flexibility, maybe even give them some help with that so that they get that MBA on their own. And the residual impact will be, hey, they're better strategic thinkers. They're better critical thinkers. They're better at rethinking strategies and on their feet. That'll naturally put them in a better position to close larger deals because they have the experience and the type of thinking themselves. And I didn't have to put them, wait 2 years, put them through an MBA program, which costs, you know, six figures plus for them to only come back. We're just, again, societal changes has sped up everything. And if we, again, just let go of fear and let go of the old way of operating and embrace the new way of operating, because Web3 is right here in front of us, changing the game. This is how the best technology companies will succeed in the future.
That's powerful, that shift. Companies that get it, companies that are open-minded and they're more agile, they can adapt to some of these changes. It's interesting to see that how some companies are set in their ways, and it takes them a lot longer to accept some of these new challenges or new opportunities. Really beautifully said. I think you're spot on in terms of there's certain companies that seem to be able to roll with the punches and they're adapting to what's happened since the pandemic. And there's certain companies that are struggling, right? Because they're not as quick to make changes, to make decisions, and they're still holding on to the past or what the old days were like and what the good days were like, right? And you see there's a lot of companies that are starting to struggle because of all those new changes and expectations of the new generation of the workforce.
Yeah, absolutely. And for too long, we had the factory mindsets, and that creeped into the modern workplace. And it was really the pandemic that broke that chain, thankfully. And when you have and you stay in the factory mindset, meaning I need my employees to be in a place that I can see them, and the office essentially became the new factory, butts in seats. I see them working. I see them staying extra. I'm going to lead the way. I'm going to be the first person in the office and the last one to leave. I'm going to make sacrifices. Again, that is such an archaic way of viewing the world that if you continue to embrace that, you're going to lose in today's economy. And the fastest path is to embrace this change and figure out how you can incorporate it with your company values, your processes, and your employees' mode of operation. And again, it's one simple thing. It's releasing and not making decisions based off of fear. It's leading with trust. Just starts with that. Just as we talked about, the best way to sell is essentially not selling. It's being a good human and building a human connection. And then the natural things, again, if you've got the right experience, you've got the right intelligence, you've got the right means of communicating, once that human connection is established, you're collaborating, you're not selling, battling with procurement, and it becomes this adversarial thing. No, it should be a collaboration, and that takes human connection. So it's all a flywheel. It's all cyclical. It starts at the top. It also starts at the bottom. And if there's a bottoms up approach by helping the individual be the best human possible, and the companies lead with trust, everybody gets better in the middle.
Well, that was a really nice wrap up. I think that was extremely well said. And I just want to acknowledge you for you just being at the forefront of the evolution of a professional salesperson and what a thoughtful and intentional career would look like. you also changing the game in terms of reimagining what it looks like to actually have a work-life balance and still be at the top of the leaderboard. I think that's a unique perspective. You integrating and bringing your whole self to work and making it possible for others to be authentic about mental health and some of these more vulnerable types of issues that, you know, it's taken us this long to talk about and be open with. But yeah, thanks for making the time. I'm sure you're quite busy and I'm sure this will impact a lot of people. And yeah, just really appreciate you just being so raw and so giving with your time. And I'm sure, you know, your legacy and all the people that you've been impacting really appreciate you just sharing so openly.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Davidson. And thanks for having me on. And I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, everyone here. You know, this might go live after Thanksgiving, but doesn't hurt to continue to start our days and share our gratitude. And I'm grateful to everyone. That's what keeps me going, that resonates with my content. And you know, if I could put out a shameless plug, follow me, please, on LinkedIn. I share every day. Also, BrandonFluharty.com is where folks can really dive deep if they want to go down in the rabbit hole of this concept of an anti-hustle approach to being a better human and naturally earning more in your sales role. So visit me there and I'll be sharing a lot of goodies.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll post a link to your website. Definitely will tag you on LinkedIn and all the podcasts and the YouTube and all that good stuff. And yeah, thank you so much. Hope you enjoy the holidays. And I'll probably post it pretty soon, like before Thanksgiving. So
right.
Perfect. Thank you.
Sounds good. Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.